Holy Week begins today with Palm Sunday, and the scripture that we read this morning has many sermons in it. Holy Week is a chance to enter more deeply into these final days of Jesus' life on earth, to experience new ways of celebration, cross, and resurrection. We encounter in this scripture this morning an event just before Jesus' entry into Jerusalem. Actually, it was the lectionary passage for last week. And it is a story that is sometimes overlooked in the rush to Holy Week, to Easter. But it is much in keeping this year with our theme of walking with God through Lent, a family's journey to discipleship to follow Jesus. As we prepare to engage with this text this day, will you pray with me? Good and gracious God, steadfast in love, ever more ready to meet us where we are than we are sometimes ready to meet you. Guide us, we pray, as we encounter this text this day, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts may be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. It is a rare thing in Scripture to find a story in Scripture that is found in all four Gospels. And yet this is one of those, this anointing of Jesus by a woman, no less. The details of the story in each of the Gospels are different. Many dimensions that reflect the dynamic array of people who gathered around Jesus, who were with him on that day of the Palm Sunday entry into Jerusalem, spreading palm branches with great expectation as to what was ahead for all of them. Curiously, in the other three Gospels, the woman who anoints Jesus, either head or feet, because those details vary too, is unnamed. And the details vary in different places, in different times, in different houses, and different circumstances, again, perhaps reflecting the wide array of people who were coming from north and south and east and west to come to recognize Jesus as King on that day. But in John's Gospel, the story is one which precedes immediately the entry into Jerusalem. It is a story that takes place in the house of dear friends, a family, two sisters and a brother. You might have met them earlier. John locates the story here with a specific woman, Mary of Bethany. The same Mary of the Mary and Martha story in Luke's Gospel, where Martha is challenged by Jesus to see Mary's devotion, to be attentive to the things of the Spirit and not to be so caught up in the household duties. The same Mary who is the sister of Lazarus, who was raised from the dead by Jesus one chapter before in John. It is a story in which Mary shows yet again her devotion to Jesus at the end of Jesus' life. This is a family, I believe, of three very different personalities and experiences of Jesus. Friends who all became devoted disciples of him to the end. Their home is in Bethany, southeast of the Mount of Olives, beside the Jericho Road, just a short walk over the Mount of Olives to the temple at Jerusalem, very close to those who were clamoring for Jesus' death. Our text for today is the last story of this gathering before Jesus enters Jerusalem in the events that will become very well-known events of Holy Week: Last Supper, arrest, trial, crucifixion, resurrection. And today we encounter this family, We know that Jesus loved this family and that they loved him back because they risked identification with him as others perhaps wouldn't and didn't. They have grown over this time with him through the various circumstances and events of their own lives, following him and wrestling with the demands of home and spirit, seeing each other respond to Jesus in different ways, experiencing the death of their beloved brother Lazarus, so loved by Jesus that he wept when he heard of his death. We hear and read of them experiencing him being raised by Jesus to new life. But in this story and in Scripture itself, we know very little about this Lazarus, this brother. Jesus' dialogue in Scripture in both Luke and John's Gospel is more with the sisters, Mary and Martha. That in itself is unique, that the focus of these Gospels is on the women of the story. The only other reference in Scripture to any other Lazarus is the story that Jesus tells about Lazarus and the rich man in heaven. Perhaps you remember it. Is it a coincidence that it's the same name that in Luke 16, the one who was faithful and poor, this other Lazarus, dies and goes to heaven? And the rich man, who never had time for the message of true life during his time in this world, now begs to hear the message when his own death comes. We know from earlier in Scripture that Jesus was very good friends with this family. Can you imagine what the dinner table conversations might have been between these three? As Martha wrestled with the balance between home and prayer life, she seems to be upbraided fairly sharply by Jesus. Now, I must say that I have a lot of sympathy for Martha. And maybe it's just because we also preach the older brother prodigal son story throughout this season as well, but I somehow see Martha as the responsible older sister, bossy, but not for the sake of bossiness itself, but to make sure that everything works smoothly together. I am greatly heartened in this story to see the evolution of these siblings, because if you read your text carefully, you read later on in this story that we read that while Martha is still serving, they gave a dinner for him, all of them. Mary, though, is bewildered and single-focused as to why Martha just can't understand how much important the life of the Spirit is, taking time to listen to Jesus, attending to him while he's here on this earth for such a short time, just 3 short years. In almost all of the occasions we read about Mary, we see that focus of devotion. And we don't know much about Lazarus. We know that he died somehow. And as he heads towards death of a cause that we don't know and the struggles that must have been part of his life and his own realities of missing his friend Jesus during that time. Yet Jesus does come to them eventually. In chapter 11, we read of a dramatic raising of Lazarus from the dead, an act which makes Jesus even more dangerous as a leader amongst the people, more of a threat to the powers. It marks Lazarus, too, as a threat as he walks around alive, a living witness to Jesus' healing power. One has to only speculate to know what Lazarus might have said of that miraculous event. I encourage you to go back and read the chapter before this chapter 12 and to see the way these relationships develop, how Martha does give an affirmation of faith as she goes out to meet Jesus on the road, even as Mary is weeping in grief in the household. Martha is too is grieving the loss of her brother that she believes and trusts with her whole heart, but she affirms that Jesus is the Messiah, that he has that power to bring life out of death. And it comes to pass that way. We have no idea from Scripture what Lazarus went on to do with his risen life, except for this brief reference that he too helped with that dinner. Gives me great hope. With Jesus, when his sister Mary anointed Jesus. This last event in John's Gospel before Jesus goes to meet the crowds, we can see the synergy in this family, with the three of them experiencing and likely sharing very different reactions to the impact of Jesus on their lives. And that is true for each one of us here. Just sit and ask your family or other friends here in the congregation what they heard in worship this morning, what spoke to them, how Jesus is moving them and you to move into this Holy Week experience, how our individual lives in the Spirit vary with what we bring with us to worship, who we encounter, what speaks to us in this moment. And then they are all there on Palm Sunday. They and a great crowd who gather to hear and see Jesus who has come to Jerusalem. They gather to experience him, to celebrate this amazing power that brings life out of death, healing from illness, and strength for the journey. They come together to praise him, to see this miracle maker, and not just Jesus. Immediately after this story of the anointing, we're told in John's Gospel, when the great crowd of the Jews learned that he was there, they came not only because of Jesus, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. Scripture reads, "So the chief priests planned to put Lazarus to death as well, since it was on account of him that many of the Jews were deserting and were believing in Jesus." Jesus' entry into Jerusalem is riding on a wave of tremendous energy, power and healing, followers who truly believe he can break all power of sin and evil in the world and triumph over the powers of darkness. It is a time of great hope and promise. And Mary, Martha, and Lazarus believe that and trust their lives to it as they welcome Jesus to their home. They have been witnesses to that power, and they are willing to risk for it with their very lives and livelihood, anointing Jesus with an expensive oil, risking exposure again to death for Lazarus as a living witness of Jesus' saving power. And then the parade begins. For this Jesus is a king of a very different kind. Again, this week, we are invited to enter into Holy Week, to experience the depth to which Jesus will go for us, the depth to which Jesus has gone for us, and a call to live as his disciples, as these who were so close to him do as well. It is our call in Holy Week, as individuals and as a family of faith together, to draw closer to the story as it unfolds, not just to skip from the celebration of power of Palm Sunday to the celebration of resurrection next Sunday. Your calendar of Holy Week can invite you into ways to do that. Our lives vary. Each one of us with opportunities in varying ways to respond to that call, to walk with Jesus where Jesus walked. Perhaps you can be in one of those services that happen midweek. Perhaps you will draw closer in your own private meditation of Scripture, in reading the story through the rest of John's Gospel as it unfolds. Perhaps you will be in service in walking the path that Jesus walked in the world in this week in some way that echoes the call to discipleship. The people who followed Jesus after the healing of Lazarus had found someone that they wanted to listen to, this one who brought new life out of death. It is true for us too. Palm Sunday invites us today to celebrate and remember the reality that Jesus does bring new life. As we see in the witness of this family of Mary of Bethany who anoints Jesus in that recognition, not to ignore the pain and suffering and griefs of life, but even in the midst of that, to experience and to claim the opportunity to draw ever more close to God. So let us celebrate Palm Sunday as we enter into this Holy Week, in our families, in our life together, in all times and places. Let us live into faith that Jesus is this Redeemer King, Redeemer of all life and circumstances, in a journey to the cross and beyond the cross to Easter resurrection. Amen.